90th legislative day. We have 30 days to go. Will the members please vote to signify their presence?
The roll shows 11 members present this morning. Senators Coghill, Halford, and Sturzaluski are excused from the call of the Senate.
Please stand for the invocation by today's chaplain, Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, from the Book of Common Prayer, let us pray. O God, the fountain of wisdom, whose will is good and gracious, and whose law is truth, we beseech thee to guide and bless our senators, that they may enact such laws as please thee, to the glory of thy name and the welfare of thy people. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Will Senator Fahrenkamp please lead us in the pledge today?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Senator Adams.
Yes, Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that their prayer be spread on a journal, that the chaplain's fee be waived and donated to the Glory Hole.
Without objection, it will be done. Would the Secretary please note the presence in the chambers of Senators Szymanski and Fisher? Will the Secretary please certify the journal?
I wish to certify as the correctness of the journal for the 90th legislative day in Senate Supplement Number 21.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I move to ask unanimous consent the journal from the 90th day and Senate Supplement Number 21 be approved to certify.
Without objection, the journal is approved to certify. Introduction of guests. Senator Fates. Whoops. Introduction of guests. Messages from the governor.
There are no messages from the governor this morning, Mr. President.
Would the secretary please show the presence in the chambers of Senator Pierce? Messages from the House.
Dear Mr. President, the House has passed Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 355, Labor and Commerce, amended by the Labor and Commerce Committee, an act relating to insurance premium taxes and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Commerce, Finance.
Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 400, Finance, amended by the Finance Committee, an act relating to the fisheries business tax and license and to persons subject to the tax and a licensure requirement, establishing civil penalties for failure to obtain a fisheries business license and providing for an effective date.
Resources.
Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 450, Resources, by the Resources Committee, an act relating to easements or right-of-way within a state, park, or recreational facility.
Resources.
This bill is available for cross-sponsorship. Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 465, Judiciary, by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to telephone access and monitoring inside correctional facilities.
Judiciary.
Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 532, Finance, amended by the Finance Committee, an act requiring the placement of certain coating on certain plastic bottles and containers and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Commerce.
This bill is available for cross-sponsorship, and those are all messages from the House this morning, Mr. President.
Communications. Senate will stand at ease. Will the Secretary please note the presence in the chambers of Senators Frank Binkley and Senator Ewling is also present. Senator Binkley, he'll be back.
Thank you, Mr. President. If we could move back to introduction of guests, please.
Without objection.
With the consent of the delegation from Fairbanks, I know they've been giving me the latitude of introducing a couple of their constituents before when my parents were here with the body. And also I have here today some other family members down from Fairbanks in the far gallery, Senator Ziegler's gallery. It's my privilege this morning to introduce to the body my sister, Mary Lee, and her husband, Buzz Fallhaber. Please help me welcome them.
Brings us back to the daily order of business, communications.
There are no communications this morning, Mr. President.
Reports of standing committees.
Finance Committee considered Senate Bill Number 137, Commercial Vehicle Driver License, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 137, Finance, new title, and reports the back as follows. Senator Ewing, co-chair, signed do pass. Senator Binkley, co-chair, signed do not pass. Another seven new state employees. Remember that when you go back home and talk to the Chamber of Commerce. Senators Frank, Pierce, and Fisher signed no recommendation. Zero fiscal note and fiscal note attached. Senate Bill Number 137 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
State Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill Number 197, Management and Investment of State Retirement Funds, and a majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute Senate Bill Number 197, State Affairs, new title and due pass. Report was signed by Senator Show Chair concurring Senator Spakes, Kelling, Adams. Senator Ewing signed no recommendation. Two fiscal notes attached. Senate Bill Number 197 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. Resources Committee considered Senate Bill 213, Commercial Development Lease and Estate Land. The majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for Senate Bill 213, Resources, new title and due pass. The report was signed by Senator Perrin Kemp, Chair, concurring Senators Kutula, Frank, Elias, and Sturgeluski. Senator Jaroff signed no recommendation. Zero fiscal note attached. Senate Bill number 213 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. Finance Committee considered Senate Bill number 230, Compensation of Justices and Judges, effective date, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for Senate Bill number 230, Finance, and reports it back as follows. Senator Binkley and Senator Ewing co-chair sign no recommendation. Senators Frank, Jaroff, and Pierce sign do pass. Senator Fisher sign do not pass. Now is not the time for such a significant pay raise for an elected position. Four fiscal notes attached. Senate Bill number 230 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill number 308, Taxation of Certain State Property by Municipalities. The majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for Senate Bill number 308, Community and Regional Affairs, new title and due pass. The report was signed by Senator Zemanski, Chair, concurring Senators Pierce, Pichot, and Frank. Senator Adams signed no recommendation. Two fiscal notes attached. Senate Bill 308 has a further referral to Labor and Commerce Committee. Resources Committee considered sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 359, Municipal Assistance Oil Response Fund. A majority of the committee recommends the Oil and Gas Committee substitute be adopted and due pass. Report was signed by Senator Fahrenkamp, Chair, concurring Senators Sturgeluski, Kutula, and Jaroff. Senators Halford, Frank, and Elias signed no recommendation. Previous fiscal notes. Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill number 359 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. State Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill 399, Leases of Office Space by the Department of Administration, and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for Senate Bill number 399, State Affairs, new title and due pass. The report was signed by Senator Pichot, Chair, concurring Senators Adams, Kelly, and Ewing. Senator Fake signed due pass, but still needs one amendment. Zero fiscal note attached. Senate Bill number 399 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. Resources Committee considered Senate Bill number 520, authorizing a transmission line between Healy and Fairbanks, effective date, and recommends due pass. Report was signed by Senator Fahrenkamp, Chair, concurring Senators Halford, Kutula, Frank, Jaroff, Elias, and Sturgeluski. Fiscal note attached. Senate Bill number 520 has a further referral to Labor and Commerce Committee. Rules Committee considered Senate Bill 381, Mountain Goat Hunting for Mountain Goat by Non-Resident Hunters, and recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Sturgeluski, concurring Senators Kelly and Eliason. Senate Bill 453, allowing nonprofit associations to receive grants from the Department of Public Safety for a reward program to enforce alcoholic beverage control laws, recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Sturgeluski, Chair, concurring Senators Kurtul and Kelly. Committee substitute for House Bill number 569, Resources, maximum length of salmon vessels, and recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Sturgeluski, Chair, concurring Senators Rudy, Kurtul, and Eliason. House Bill number 323, authorizing the Big Lake Ice Classic, and recommends calendar. The report was signed by Senator Sturgeluski, Chair, concurring Senators Elias and Kutula. These four bills do appear on today's calendar, and those are all the standing committee reports this morning, Mr. President.
Reports of special committees.
There are no special committee reports.
Introduction of Senate resolutions.
There are no Senate resolutions this morning.
Introduction of Senate bills.
Senate Bill number 545. By the Resources Committee, an act relating to establishing the Marmot Island Critical Habitat Area and providing for an effective date.
Resources.
Those are all the bills this morning, Mr. President.
That brings us down to consideration of the daily calendar.
Senate Bill number 381 by Senator Duncan, an act relating to hunting for mountain goat by non-resident hunters and providing for an effective date. Resources Committee considered the bill and reports it back as follows. Senator Fahrenkamp, Chair, and Senators Halford and Eliason signed due pass. Senators Frank, Jaroff, and Sturgeluski signed no recommendation. Fiscal note and zero fiscal note attached. Finance Committee considered the bill. Majority of the committee reports it back without recommendation. Reports were signed by Senators Binkley and Ewing, co-chairs, concurring Senators Fisher, Jaroff, and Pierce. Senator Duncan signed due pass. Previous fiscal note and zero fiscal note. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendar. Report signed by Senator Sturgeluski, Chair, concurring Senators Kelly and Elias.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Senator Rudy.
Mr. President, we ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 381 be considered engrossed and passed in third reading and placed for final passage.
Without objection, Senate Bill 381 is in third reading.
Senate Bill number 381, an act relating to hunting for mountain goat by non-resident hunters and providing for an effective date.
Senator Fakes.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Regrettably, I'm going to have to oppose this piece of legislation. The Guide Task Force, chaired by Representative from Nome 2 years ago, unanimously recommended that if you're looking at safety reasons and you need a guide to take a non-resident hunting for brown bear, grizzly, and sheep in this state, that the types of guiding for mountain goat are as rigorous and therefore would require a guide. It was passed out of the Resources Committee of this body and passed by the legislature in both the House and the Senate just a year ago today. We did make a mistake when we put that restriction on, though. We didn't get a delayed effective date, which did mess up some of the goat hunts in Southeastern last year. But to totally exclude mountain goats from the registered guides would be going against the recommendations of the guide task force and this body just 1 year ago today. So I'm going to oppose this bill.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate the comments from the senator from Anchorage. The bill does just basically what the senator says, removes mountain goat from the list of game non-residents may hunt only when accompanied by a guide. I introduced Senate Bill 381 not because it's an area that I am involved in, but because it was a lot of concern was expressed to me by some local hunters who were surprised with the change that was made last year. In fact, I would guess that many of us in this body didn't realize we made that change. The change was made in the guide bill. It did add mountain goat to the list requiring a guide to be with a non-resident. According to the individuals I've chatted with concerning this, they did not have the opportunity, in their view at least, to participate or was not aware that this was happening, and it happened at, without adequate public participation in their mind. It's not just an issue, by the way, that affects Southeast Alaska. I happen to have in my packet, and I guess we didn't copy them and send them out to all members, but I've got about 30 or 40 pages of signatures here from people around the state who support this legislation, from Fairbanks, from Anchorage, from Chugiak, from Kenai, from all over Southeast, Fort Wainwright. It goes right down the North Pole. I'm just looking at the various addresses here. Houston, Alaska, in fact, who do support this legislation. And I think it is worthwhile passing this legislation on and removing the requirement that was put in last year. You also note that that this, contrary to what we normally do in this legislature, doesn't cost money. It saves money, following my conservative approach over the recent weeks. Senate Bill 381 generates about $65,000 of revenue to the state, but the real benefit to the state of Alaska is probably much more than that. It's probably greater than just the revenue it generates of $65,000. Went back and did a little research as to what type of other economic benefit might come from the non-resident goat hunters, how much they might spend in Alaska. In October of 1986, the Department of Fish and Game technical report indicated that the average non-resident goat hunter spent well over $1,000 to hunt goat, and about $2,000 in 1984. The total direct hunter expenditures for non-resident goat hunters in Southeast Alaska alone in 1984 was around $700,000, so there is some economic benefit. Mr. Chairman, besides that, I believe it is important to make this change. I'm not being critical of the Guide Task Force, the people who worked on that. All information I've received indicate, however, there was not adequate opportunity for those involved to testify on this provision, and I think this is necessary.
Senator Fahrenkamp.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think it, in fairness to the group, I must point out that in the hearings, we did have overwhelming testimony of those present for this piece of legislation. However, the Department of Law does not support this, in that in order to defend having sheep on the species list, they feel that it's necessary to have the goat on the list. I just wanted to bring that to the attention of the senators.
Senator Adams.
This piece of legislation removes mountain goats from the type of animals that require guides. It doesn't make sense when the reasons we have guides is for public safety. This bill removes mountain goats but leaves sheep, and it leaves sheep there. It seems like one is equally as dangerous as the other. The other item is that since we have not taken any action on the subsistence issue, whether it's a constitutional amendment or not. If it's not, then we're looking at dual management. Are these mountain goats on federal lands? Are they on state lands? Or are they on native lands? And I'm going to oppose this piece of legislation because it's not needed until we make a resolve under the subsistence issue.
Senator Fix.
Yes, thank you. I think another thing that we should point out, besides the safety issue, and my learned colleague, the majority leader, tells me that hunting goats are a lot more dangerous than hunting sheep, is that you've got, in hunting goats, it's a permit that's required. So what you're doing is you're allowing the out-of-staters to come in and take our wildlife and not even requiring an in-state guide. And the in-staters don't have that same opportunity to get this particular species. So I just think it's an issue of fairness. If you're going to require sheep to have a guide, then I think a comparable species would be goat to have a guide. And the guide task force considered this an oversight. The goat should have been included. There were public hearings on this issue. I think the least we can do to rectify the situation is have a delayed effective date, keep mountain goats in, and delay the effective date so it doesn't interfere with hunts. But last year, this was the law of the land, and life went on. I think it's a misnomer to say that this brings in $65,000, or say that's permit money that could be spent by Alaskans to get this species not out of staters.
Senator Jones.
President, I think we're talking about safety. I've been in as much trouble hunting deer as I have for hunting goats. In southeastern Alaska, goats come right down to the water. They range right with the deer on the flatlands. So don't tell me, don't bring this safety thing up. That's a bunch of hogwash, as far as I'm concerned.
Senator Fakes.
For bringing that up, I think some lawmakers would get in trouble even in downtown urban areas.
Is there further discussion? Senator Curtula.
I, too, was in on some of the hearings, and I felt a great deal like Senator Fakes did, but I listened to them and checked on it. From my notes, you know, as the Department of Law thought that goats should be there since sheep were included, but my notes, it looks now like it's not necessary to include mountain goats, either legally or for safety reasons. And I had a question because I was concerned about the forest, and that has to do with coming down the water, the diminution of the forest areas in Yakutaga and the reduction of goats in that area because of it. But and you do need to protect the broodstock, of course. But frankly, they tell me where they actually do the hunting in the Taku area, the goat population hasn't changed in 20 years, and the Department of Fish and Game was neutral on the bill. They said whether or not goats remain on the guide required list will not seriously affect the management. Just want to report that, because again, the hottest place in hell is for somebody in the middle, and I was pretty much in the middle on this one, kind of leaning over to the suggestion that the guide task force does. But going back over my notes again, I don't see any serious reason except for the fact that we're kind of stratified. We do it for one thing, we should do it for the other, because there's something down maybe in the law that will come up someday. Well, in fact, if it earns more money this way and it doesn't do any great disservice, doesn't provide a diminution of the goat population, there's no particular reason to, in my mind, not pass this legislation.
Mr. President, for the discussion, Senator Lyason.
I was in resources last year when this bill, when we included mountain goats, and I opposed it at that time. I don't think it was necessarily because it wasn't a good idea. I think the fact of the matter was based upon the Attorney General's opinion that it would make it easier some way or other to defend the state, and I don't think that was a good enough reason. And as far as the guide task force, I think there are a lot of recommendations we didn't follow. We didn't sign off on the bill. We made a lot of changes.
Further discussion? Question being, shall Senate Bill 381 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary record the vote. And so Senate Bill 381 passes the Senate by a vote of 14 yeas and 3 nays. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I'm going to ask the unanimous consent to vote on the bill to consider the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, effective date clause does pass.
Senate Bill number 453 by Senators Bickley and Sharoff, an act allowing nonprofit associations to receive grants from the Department of Public Safety for a reward program to enforce alcoholic beverage control laws. Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered the bill. The majority of the committee recommends to pass. The report was signed by Senator Frank, Vice Chair, concurring Senators Pershrell and Adams. Zero fiscal note attached. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendar. The report was signed by Senator Strzelewski, Chair, concurring Senators Curtula and Kelly.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Senator Rohde.
President, I move that the unanimous consent the Senate Bill 453 be considered in gross advance of third reading. Final passage.
Without objection, Senate Bill 453 is in third reading.
Senate Bill number 453, an act allowing nonprofit associations to receive grants from the Department of Public Safety for reward program to enforce alcoholic beverage control laws.
Main discussion. Senator Euling.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a question to the sponsor. Who would this include, or a couple examples of who the group of people that would be benefiting by this would be as far as nonprofits are concerned?
Senator Binkley.
Thank you, Mr. President. To the co-chairman of finance. Some of the examples would be the Association of Village Council Presidents, the Tananaw Chiefs, Kawark. These are the regional nonprofit corporations who are actually responsible for the VPSO programs, the Village Public Safety Officer programs. They would be able to coordinate the activities of these VPSOs in dealing with trying to catch people who are bootlegging alcohol into dry communities, rather than having each individual community apply for these grants. The regional nonprofit that's overall responsible for the VPSO program could apply for the grants, help coordinate between communities, maybe take one VPSO from one village, have him go into another village to try and go undercover, so to speak, in order to apprehend people who are bootlegging in that community. So it allows them to coordinate their activities and should make the program more effective, although it does not add any more money to the program.
Further discussion? Senator Fahrenkamp.
Thank you, Mr. President. A question to the sponsor of the legislation through the chair. How does the reward system work? For instance, if I were living in the village and someone came to visit my home and I'm sitting there drinking booze, do they then go report it and get a reward for reporting to the whatever officer that I have it in my home, whether I'm selling it or not?
Well, of course, Mr. President, if the senator from Fairbanks lives in a village that has banned and the community has voted on the local option to ban possession of alcohol, and she's violating the law by possessing alcohol in her home, she, of course, would be subject to the penalties associated with that that crime in that particular village. If there were an individual who saw that, reported it to the police got a search warrant, they went back to the home, and there was a search, legal search made. The senator from Fairbanks did indeed have alcohol in that home, and she had violated the law. She would be subject, of course, to the penalty, which is a fine, no jail terms. But that individual could be eligible for a reward under this program. The way that it's most of the reward system has worked is actually through the community, through the VPSOs, in bringing in other VPSOs undercover in order to catch people who are selling alcohol in communities where they have banned the sale of alcohol primarily. I don't even know if there's actually been a conviction under the possession statute. It's mainly handled administratively within the communities, a small fine. The person either pays or does community service work in lieu of the fine.
Further discussion? Senator Fahrenkamp.
Another question, Mr. Chairman. I may be looking for a job later on, and I just wondered what that amount of that reward would be.
Senator Binkley? The amount the reward would be, Senator Binkley.
If she was looking for a job as a village public safety officer, is that the...
Senator Fahrenkamp?
I think they're paid about $10 or $12
an hour. If I visited in a friend's home and found them with booze, reported that booze, what would my reward be for reporting them before they came, arrested them, and took them in for violating the law?
Senator Binkley.
I think, Mr. President, if you read the program really is designed for the municipalities to administer the reward program leading to the apprehension and conviction of the persons. I don't know what the actual amount is that's given. I think that's determined by the municipalities that apply for the grants. Maybe they give a $10 reward. Maybe they give a $500 reward. I think that's determined by the Department of Public Safety in the grant application of that community.
Further discussion. Question being, shall Senate Bill 453 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary record the vote. So Senate Bill 453 passed the Senate by a vote of 17 yeas and no nays. Senator Duncan.
May we have it at ease?
Senate will stand at ease.
23 by Representatives Menard, Larson, and Foster, an act authorizing the Big Lake Ice Classic. State Affairs Committee considered the bill and reports it back as follows. Senator Pershaw, Chair, and Senator Ewing signed due pass. Senators Fakes and Kelly signed no recommendation. Previous House, zero. Fiscal note. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Strzelewski, Chair, concurring Senators Elias and Couture.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Senator Rohde.
The President, I move consent that House Bill 323 be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and place for final passage.
Without objection, House Bill 323 is in third reading.
House Bill number 323, an act authorizing a Big Lake Ice Classic.
Is there any discussion? Question being, shall House Bill 323 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote until House Bill 323 passes the Senate by a vote of 14 yeas and 3 nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 569, Resources, by the Resources Committee, an act relating to the maximum length of a salmon seine vessel. Resources Committee considered the bill, and a majority of the committee recommends do pass. The report was signed by Senator Fahrenkamp, Chair, concurring. Senators Frank, Elias, and Jaroff, and Sturgelowski, previous House, zero fiscal note. Rules Committee considered the bill, recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Sturgelowski, Chair, concurring. Senators Rudy, Cotillo, and Eliason.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Senator Rudy.
Mr. President, move unanimous consent that House Bill 569 be considered in gross advance in third reading and placed in final passage.
Without objection, House Bill 569 is in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 569, Resources, an act related to the maximum length of a salmon seine vessel.
Any discussion? Senator Fahrenkamp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, this was in Resources Committee. It seems that the Corps has trouble telling. They have vessels that they add appendages to in order to put some of their gear or whatever, and they have difficulty now in being able to make an arrest of those people who have boats that extend past what the limits are. This is clarification for that so that it can be consistent in their enforcement.
Further discussion? Question being, shall committee substitute for House Bill 569, Resources, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So committee substitute for House Bill 569, Resources, passes the Senate by a vote of 17 yeas and no nays. Senator Petula.
If you'll notice, I wish to bring out my reconsideration on committee substitute Senate Bill 238 at this time.
We have before us at this time committee substitute for Senate Bill 238, Finance as amended in third reading. Senator Curtula.
Mr. President, it's been requested that we hold this over till Tuesday's calendar, I've had the request to hold it over committee. I'll have the ease.
Senate will stand at ease. We have in front of us Senate Bill 238 in third reading. Senator Porchot.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that we return to second reading for the purpose of rescinding our actions in adopting Amendment Number 3.
Without objection, return to second reading. Senator Porchot.
Mr. President, I'm going to move and then later ask unanimous consent that we rescind our action in adopting Amendment Number 3. The purpose will be to return us to being able to adopt, in lieu of that amendment, Amendment Number 4, which we have worked out with AEA and I think solves certainly my problem, and I think all the problems that were discussed on the floor. With that, Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that we rescind our action in adopting Amendment Number 3.
There is objection. Senator Adams.
The objection is basically, what is the difference between the rescinding of number 3 versus the adoption of number 4 that will be coming up?
Senator Porchot.
Thank you, Mr. President. This whole area is a difficult topic, as the senator from Kotzebue knows, to explain and what may or may not be required in the issuance of revenue bonds. The concern that I think a majority of this body had in adopting amendment number 3 was that the current principal and interest return on current power project loan funds not be held up perpetually each year and rolled into a new revolving loan fund without being considered as a separate item in the budget. The amendment we did would remove, in amendment number 3, we would remove the current approximately $2.5 million from automatically being rolled in to the use of assurances or collateral for new loans under the revolving loan fund. I have, and again, maybe this is more on further debate on the whole topic of the bill, but I am convinced at this stage that what the director of AEA has in mind is indeed unique, and that we ought to give him a chance to try that, and I think amendment number 4 would also prevent the $2.5 million from being perpetually kept in AEA, but would return annually to the Treasury.
Excellent. Is there continued objection to the motion?
Yes.
Question being, shall we rescind our action in adopting Amendment Number 3? Members may proceed to vote.
Mr. President,
All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary record the vote. And so the Senate does receive in its action adopting Amendment Number 3 by a vote of 15 yeas and 2 nays. Senator Porchot.
Mr. President, I would move Amendment Number 4.
Senator,
I would move and ask unanimous consent that would return to second reading for the purpose of considering a specific amendment, Amendment Number 4.
Without objection, we return to second reading. Senator Porchot.
Mr. President, I would move Amendment Number 4.
Is there objection? There is objection. Senator Porchot.
Mr. President, the operative language on this appears on page 8. And in subsection B, there are two provisions there, in paragraph 1 and paragraph 2. My concern all along has been that the existing revenue stream from the bonds, from the loans, not be tied up and used in collateral or security for ongoing loans under the program, but that the $2.5 million approximately of existing revenues continue to be returned to the general fund. In paragraph 2, I think the purpose was not quite clear, but it was really the heart of what the AEA is trying to do here, in that only in the case of default would the $2.5 million be held up or not returned. The language on line 20 there is hopefully clear that it is annually all these funds, unless in the case of default, would be returned to the Treasury. The problem comes in paragraph number 1 that authorizes the AEA to pledge amounts as security or collateral, in essence, to enhance the marketability or security of bonds. It was not at all clear that you would ever lapse back money if you did what might be required by the bond people in paragraph 1. So what amendment number 4 does, the thrust of that would be to add language in paragraph 1 to make it clear that those monies are also just temporarily held by AEA and that annually they too would be redeposited in the general fund. So what would be left with was only in the case of a default would principal and interest payments on those loans have to come out of this stream of revenue. In looking through the portfolio, we haven't had any defaults on past loans. Hopefully that would never happen. And as intended, if bonds indeed can be sold under this provision, which there may be some doubt, but if it works the way is intended, we would continue to receive the $2.5 million approximately annually.
No further discussion. Senator Fahrenkamp.
Hey, we have a brief at ease.
Senator will stand at ease. Is the objection maintained to the adoption of Amendment Number 4? The objection is maintained. The question being, shall Amendment Number 4 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. And so Amendment Number 4 does pass by a vote of 14 yeas and 3 nays. Are there any other The Senate will stand at ease for the purpose of another amendment. Senator Fisher.
Chairman, I move and ask unanimous consent that we we're in third reading. I move and ask unanimous consent that we return to second reading for the purposes of an amendment.
Without objection, we are in second reading. Senator Fisher.
I move amendment number 5.
Is there an objection? There is objection. Senator Fisher.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the reason why I have this amendment before you is I just think it's fiscally irresponsible for us to allow a school district or REAA to borrow long-term for a one-year supply of fuel. I just don't think we should even allow that to happen instead of the bill does allow it to happen the way I read.
The further discussion, Senator Ulick.
Clarification on this. It seems to me that in the loans, I used to be the chairman of the loans committee on the House side, it seems to me there was like a bulk loan fund or fuel fund in commerce and economic development that took care of that for community regional affairs. And maybe somebody can help me on that. That's already established there for those one-year fuel supplies because in many areas of the state, in rural Alaska, they have to get their whole fuel supply for the cold winter. And so they get it ahead of time, and then they have a special loan fund that pays off, that they can pay the thing off in a 12-month period. But I need some clarification on that.
Senator Curtula.
I do not propose to answer his question, but I can tell you the facts of life. I know something about the Kuskokwim River, and some years ago I tried to get the legislation through to tie the Yukon Kuskokwim through Corman, and down to Sterling Landing. Why? Because many years, and sometimes it doesn't happen for year after year also, Kuskokwim is too low to bring up barge fuel up as far even as McGrath and above. So those schools need to purchase, and the area needs to purchase a 2 or 3 year supply if possible, need to fill the tanks. I suspect that this ties into that. It isn't just that year, but it goes in beyond. Otherwise, you fly it in.
Further discussion? Question being, shall amendment number 5 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So amendment number 5 fails by a vote of 5 yeas and 12 nays. That returns us to third reading on committee substitute for Senate Bill 238, Finance. Senator Porchel.
Thanks, President. I just want to say a few words on the overall purpose and intent of this as I see it from not some of the other, the minor changes in the loan policy, but in the heart of it on how it's going to be financed through revenue bonds. And it was kind of an interesting experience the last couple of days trying to find out more about revenue bond sales and how we've been doing it in other agencies. And it's very difficult to find anybody, surprisingly, in state government who knows much about this, even though we've employed several agencies that do this. One of the things that has to be clear is that this is attempting to be a different way to issue revenue bonds. Unlike ADA, unlike HFC, unlike the Student Loan Corporation, what's proposed here is, in essence, one-to-one borrowing for revenue bonds. I mean, without having to write a general fund check as collateral or to have a 1.5% coverage as is typical, or 1.25%, 125% coverage. We are attempting to, year by year, based on a revenue stream, sell revenue bonds. And I think that if this works, we really need to compliment the director of AEA, I mean, who's worked long and hard at trying to put this together like this. I still have my personal doubts whether or not we can convince people on Wall Street to do this or to buy the bonds. But again, if it works, it is an imaginative program.
Further discussion? Question being, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 238, Finance, amended, passed the Senate. Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote, and so committee substitute for Senate Bill 238, Finance, as amended, passes the Senate by a vote of 16 yeas and 1 nay. Senator Rohde.
President, move that unanimous consent to the vote of the bill to consider the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted. That brings us down to the citation calendar. Madam Secretary.
Citations honoring Sergeant Brian Reck by Senators Fake, Sterzlewski, Binkley, Halford, Pierce, Ewing, Kelly, Szymanski, Rohde, Fahrenkamp, and Frank. Honoring Petty Officer Paul Matlock by Senators Fake, Sterzlewski, Binkley, Halford, Pierce, Kelly, Szymanski, Rohde, Fahrenkamp, and Frank. Honoring Corporal Eric Halverson by Senators Fake, Sterzlewski, Binkley, Halford, Pierce, Kelly, Szymanski, Rohde, Fahrenkamp, and Frank. Honoring Sergeant Nina Perino by Senators Fake, Sterzlewski, Binkley, Halford, Pierce, Kelly, Szymanski, Rohde, Fahrenkamp, and Frank. Honoring Specialist Kelly Smith by Senators Fake, Sterzlewski, Binkley, Halford, Pierce, Kelly, Szymanski, Rohde, Fahrenkamp, and Frank. Honoring Senior Airman Douglas Echternoff by Senators Fake, Sterzlewski, Binkley, Halford, Pierce, Ewing, Kelly, Szymanski, Rohde, Fahrenkamp, and Frank. Honoring Staff Sergeant George Blayak by Senators Fake, Sterzlewski, Binkley, Halford, Pierce, Ewing, Kelly, Szymanski, Rohde, Fahrenkamp, and Frank.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I move the unanimous consent. The citation calendar be approved as read.
Without objection, the citation calendar is approved. That brings us down to unfinished business. Under unfinished business, could I get a head count of the senators that expect to be here next Thursday? That's sufficient, thank you. And a head count for those expecting to be here next Friday?
I'll probably be here next.
Okay. In the absence of myself and Senator Rohde, Senator Duncan, would you please preside on Friday? Senator Fakes. Unfinished business.
I would like to move and ask unanimous consent to, with the permission of the prime sponsor, to be shown as a co-sponsor on CS for House Bill 532, Finance, amended, an act requiring the placement of certain coating on certain plastic bottles and containers and providing for an effective date.
Without objection. Senator Pierce.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's my understanding that we now have to ask to be excused on Friday the 13th. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, then, Mr. President. I'm too superstitious to do this, but I guess I'll do it anyway. I move and ask unanimous consent of the body that I be allowed to not be subject to the call of the Senate on Friday, April 13th.
Without objection. Senator Ewing. Without objection. Further unfinished business? Senate will stand at ease. For those of you making your plans next Wednesday, we're going to be in session at 8 in the morning instead of 8:30, as several senators have a 10:30 flight to catch. Senator Ewing. Senator Ewing.
Mr. President, under announcements, then correspondingly on Wednesday, there'll be a 10 o'clock finance meeting.
Further announcements, Senator Eliason.
Ask unanimous consent that we waive publication notice on Senate Bill 308, which is an act dealing with municipal taxation of certain state property, and we'll hear the bill Wednesday afternoon.
Without objection. Further announcements, Senator Pierce.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have a Senate Oral Yes Committee meeting in Senate Finance this afternoon from 1 until 3.
Senator Fix.
Due to popular demand, the Judiciary Committee will be canceled for next Thursday.
Further announcements? Special orders? Senator Rohde, caucus.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate stand in adjournment until...
Senator Duncan, if you'd announce the caucus first, Senator.
I'm just getting ready to leave.
Mr. President, there will be a majority caucus in the budget room of one adjournment. Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate stand in adjournment until 11 a.m. Monday morning.
Without objection, Senate stands adjourned.